churches in Macedonia, in that northern part of Greece I mentioned earlier, where Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea were located. And he was referring to a collection that was being made for the poor Jewish Christians in Judea, who had been suffering a time of famine. Claudius was the emperor at that time, and there had been several incidents of famine. And of course, being Christians, they were the last in line to receive any sort of benefits or sympathy from the populace. And they're giving, these churches in Macedonia, Paul says, directly originates in the spiritual experience of God's grace flowing in their lives. In other words, evidence of faith is seen clearly in practical generosity. This statement of remarkable open-handedness on the part of the Macedonian churches, says Paul, was all the more potent because it was made whilst they themselves were in the midst of existential crises. They had difficulties themselves simply living, getting work, having enough to feed their families, and yet still they were finding the resources to be generous. Despite the most severe trial, out of extreme poverty came this marvellous demonstration of how God moves in the hearts of Christians and provides the most powerful testimony to his grace. God is generous, and those who live in that generosity, in the midst of it, understanding it, receiving it, learn how to mirror it and practice it themselves. We use the word abundant, don't we, quite often, to attest to God's generosity to us. We often use that word in the prayer for the offering. Thank you for your abundant provision. We use it often at harvest, God's abundant provision through the crops that we have, the security, the food security we have in this country. And we attest to the fact that we don't have enough just to cover our needs, but most of us have more than we need. We remember that we are not like the Israel of the Exodus, having to gather quail and manna every day and rely on whatever that day would bring. But we remember that we are like the Israel living in Canaan, in the land of milk and honey, flowing with it. Not just milk and honey being present, but the expression is telling us that this is an abundant land, a land flowing with the good things that we need. Psalm 66 celebrates that material transition from having just enough to having more than enough. And it reflects on that time of Exodus and the rejoicing of the Israelites as they said, "We went through fire and water, but you have brought us to a place of abundance." The danger is always present that as a result of that abundance, though, we might forget absolute trust in God to provide. That, of course, shouldn't change, however much or little we have. Israel, though, were quick to forget as they left Egypt. But earlier, fresh from the experience of escaping the harsh conditions of their slavery, the people were asked to respond according to how they felt towards God. And if you did, with Brian, labour through that long Bible reading from Exodus, you will know just what was being asked of them, how extensive it was. It wasn't simply a collection during a service. It was the commitment as a family of God's people, together united by that experience of being saved from harsh conditions, how they responded to that generosity and that deliverance. They began to understand that actually what God had done and what he called them to defined their lifestyle. It defined them as a people. It defined what their lives were now to be about. About a lifestyle of generosity. Unfortunately, over the centuries, it didn't actually translate into what God had intended for them in terms of the same open-handedness with people who weren't of their kind. They didn't actually become, in most cases, the light to the Gentiles that God had called them to be. But still, going back to those first moments, Exodus 35, 4 and 5, this is what the Lord has commanded, we read. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring the Lord an offering. Now, the very word offering suggests it's something that we want to give, doesn't it? Not something that we're expected to give. Everyone who was willing is to bring the Lord an offering. You see, a demand is never as effective as an appeal to the heart and mind. But the success of that appeal presupposes that the heart harbours thankfulness and gratitude and an understanding of who God truly is and what he has truly done. This offering was to make possible the building up of a worshipping community with precious materials and significant reminders of how God had acted to bring them salvation. God asked the Israelites for their dearest and most precious possessions. You imagine them leaving Egypt, flush in a sense with all of the things that the Egyptians had given to them, all of the artifacts, the precious metals, all of the fine clothing, and thinking that, well, life's good, isn't it? You know, I've got some good threads now. You know, I've got some nice ornaments, and I've got plenty of stuff that I need. I wonder if they ever imagined that it would be asked from them by God. God didn't ask for those things because they were particularly attractive to him, but because they were particularly attractive to them. They amount to nothing less than a safeguard against materialism. If our hearts are prepared to let go of the most precious possessions we have and dedicate them to God, then it's a good indication that he is the most precious thing to us. The result for the people who knew that they had been delivered from slavery by God was that they were able to relate to God with receptive hearts, turned in gratitude and adoration and worship towards their deliverer. In a sense, if they knew that, whatever God asked of them, they would be willing to give. Everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds and other stuff. Do you know, I love the sensitivity of the Bible, don't you? Sometimes, in some areas, we don't read, God instructed, they responded, and the deed was done. We don't read that. We read that God asked for everyone who was willing. You imagine the voice of God saying to them, do you really understand what I've done for you? How I've chosen you from all the peoples of the earth. How I've made you into my people. I want you to be an example to those around you of what I've done for you, of how I love you, how I provide for you. And I want you to live like that so that others will see. And he doesn't say, now, because of what I've done for you, you must do this. He says, everyone who is willing, whose heart moved them, came and brought an offering. The churches in Macedonia were similarly motivated by an awareness of how wonderfully God had provided them with all that they needed, despite the difficulties they were facing in life, but especially giving thanks for Jesus. This was all the more remarkable because they themselves were far from rich and, as we know, suffering from long-term persecution. Even in their state of relative poverty, expressing their gratitude to God by means of giving to help the suffering persecuted church in Jerusalem was more important than storing up what they had for their own future use. The example of the Macedonian churches reveals a definitive and timeless principle with regard to giving to God, that it will represent the condition of our hearts. What we give reflects the condition of our hearts, and that it can and should have an impact on the world around us. Expressions mentioning the heart should have special significance because they usually refer to our deepest feelings and reveal our innermost nature. When politicians say with such regularity that their hearts go out to suffering citizens, you would hope that they genuinely share in their grief and might do something personally to help. Have you ever just speculated, perhaps in those unguarded moments when a celebrity steps forward to do an appeal for a charity, and do you ever ask, well, I wonder how much of your money you give to that charity? They may be wonderful sponsors of it. Maybe they're just giving their time, which I guess is money. But I wonder whether people's hearts are in what they give. We like to think that that is true. As we can see, Paul adds a much greater significance to Christian giving. And this too is a lengthy Bible quote to finish with, but here it is. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your profession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Let's join in this last phrase together, shall we? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Let's sing together before our Holy Communion.